Sometimes what's on the holiday table isn't nearly as exciting as the conversation around it, especially when it comes to hot topics like climate change. If you're like me, the idea of talking about it with my family is a little nerve-wracking. So a couple of years ago, I spoke with Mary Beth Mannarino about this. She's a professor emeritus at Chatham University and a clinical psychologist. I went to her office to learn how to navigate a family gathering where there might be lots of different views on environmental issues and climate change. If these issues come up, how can we talk about them? Well, a lot has changed in a couple of years. President Trump, who has said he doesn't even know if climate change is real, is dialing back the climate policies of Obama. At the same time, we're hearing dire warnings from climate scientists. So I asked Mary Beth Mannarino to come to our studios this time and give me a refresher. Thank you for joining me again.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
So I'm going to play a clip from the last time that we talked a couple of years ago. And the question I asked was, how do we begin to have a conversation with someone about climate change or any touchy issue, a person that you know or maybe suspect has a different opinion or point of view about it than you do? And here's what you said.
If you reach out and ask the other person about their beliefs and what do they know about climate change, and show a genuine interest in it and why they feel so strongly about it, and then you're meeting them where they are, and then you can say something like, I've done a lot of thinking about this as well because it's potentially very upsetting. And here are some things that I've done to educate myself about it. So that's one of the things, is to meet them where they are and then kind of express yourself in a way that respects that they may be different.
So is that still your advice?
In part, I would stand by that. I think what I'm finding now is that people who are involved in fighting climate change, other environmental issues, or even other political concerns, is that there is a sense of urgency that has increased. And so that potentially brings more energy to the conversation, often on both sides, which can either make it go even better or can really cause it to blow up. So yes, I stand by meeting them where they are, but I would also go a little deeper and take some risks in talking a little more deeply about it with them.
How would you do that?
I just recently participated in the climate reality leadership training. And one of the very simple questions that we can ask at those times is, if you meet someone who really doesn't buy into the reality of climate change, you can just simply ask, what about that concerns you the most? And many times you'll find out that there's just a misunderstanding of facts or even a level of avoidance of finding information. So taking the risk to not just kind of accept what the person is saying, but really asking them, what is it about this that concerns you, is something that might take the conversation further.
The climate reality leadership core training, that presentation was given in Pittsburgh recently. It's given all over the world, and it's led by, of course, former Vice President Al Gore, as sort of a way to train people really to not only talk about climate change, but to kind of convince people about climate change and take action.
Right. And one of the other things that I would say about this is that if you are passionate about this, find a way to communicate that passion in a positive way. There's a way to do that without denigrating people who don't buy in, but just by example, showing them that you have learned so much and you have so much still to learn, but you're really in it for the long haul because it matters so much to the future of our grandchildren and even our current lives. I think I would honor that passion that you carry about it if you are an activist and not just try to soften that. In psychology, one of the things we talk about a lot is speaking from the I position rather than you. so that you can still stay engaged in a conversation by saying, this is what I believe, and this is what I have found out, and what I know, and why I'm in this, without attacking the other person or assuming something about how they feel.
How do you do that without giving them a bunch of facts? Like, that we're warming at this particular rate, and if we keep going, there's a lot of facts. I know that Al Gore has a lot of facts.
Al Gore has a lot of facts.
In his books and his presentations. So, how do you do that?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the things I've learned through experience, but also that Al Gore himself emphasized, is that most of us have very personal stories that we can draw on to tell people about this. For example, my family is from the mountains of eastern Kentucky, where mining was the major industry. And I have learned a lot about how the fossil fuel extraction and mountaintop removal has devastated communities and people's health. And so when I talk about that from a personal perspective, I can also invite somebody else to talk about experiences that they've had with nature. One of the things I have found in teaching graduate students in psychology and counseling about these issues is that we can't just launch the semester with the facts about these things. And what we do is we actually spend a couple of weeks looking at our personal relationships with nature. And people are invited to think about places that were very special to them for one reason or another, and to go back to remembering the sensory experience of being there and the emotional and spiritual experiences. And then also to imagine, if those places are still intact and thriving, what would it feel like to have that place be devastated by some kind of environmental disaster or cumulative effects of toxins and climate change? And people often have a powerful reaction to that when they can personalize it.
I think a lot of people would agree that topics like climate change are even more divided along political lines than they were a couple of years ago since the election of President Trump. Would you say that's true? And how would that impact your advice?
I think it's absolutely true. I think we hear about that every day in the news. We see the evidence of that. And so the urgency that I mentioned earlier, the climate getting worse and about the U.S.'s official position at the federal level to back out of the climate agreement.
The Paris Climate Agreement.
The Paris Climate Agreement is there, but there's also an opportunity that has urgency to reach across the aisle, so to speak, and to really take it on yourself to be one of the people who builds bridges rather than stays in your own silo and tries to maintain your position regardless of where the other person is. It's one of the biggest challenges I've ever seen. And the impact on this country through that divisiveness is profound.
To reach across the aisle and the Thanksgiving table.
And the Thanksgiving table. Reach across the turkey. Yeah.
I do remember asking you the last time we spoke about what happens if you don't go deeper, if you don't take the high road, if it gets a little heated, if things don't go the way that either side would want them to go. What do you do then?
That's tricky. What I would do in those circumstances is say, well, it sounds like we just really don't see eye to eye on this at all, and things are getting kind of heated. Let's take a break. I'm always eager to talk again if you're interested. I would always try to leave the door open. Sometimes it might be me who has to take a break because I can feel the heat of the urgency rising in me and my voice becoming strident and my body getting tense. But I'd always leave the door open. Another thing that I also, I don't even think I said this last time, but because of how we celebrate our holidays, remember that alcohol and these discussions don't mix well. And alcohol lowers inhibitions. And so often people end up saying things that they don't really mean to say or say them in a way that can be very damaging to relationships. So if people are imbibing to a certain degree, I wouldn't even go there with attempting any discussions because it may lead to something that just isn't pleasant for anyone.
Mm. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Mary Beth Manarino is a professor emeritus at Chatham University and a clinical psychologist. She has another tip for holiday gatherings. Avoid talking about climate change if you or others are drinking alcohol. It impairs our inhibitions, and someone might say something they can't take back. There's more of our conversation at AlleghenyFront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.